If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Every Day Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Every Day Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Every Day Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center, Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Drama also builds back in the House, with Speaker Mike Johnson preparing to defy his most conservative House colleagues and call votes on a series of aid packages for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. This despite running the risk conservatives may attempt to boot him from the speakership through what's called a motion to vacate.
Now, that's a report from MSNBC, but I've got to jump in before we get into the actual analysis. Something has got to be done with describing Marjorie Taylor Greene or even Donald Trump as conservative.
Yes, please.
I'm a guy who's like read a lot of conservative ideology and thought from the past centuries, some of the classic stuff. It's a philosophy. It's a thing. It's a good thing. It's a thing I really believe in. But calling Marjorie Taylor Greene the most conservative because she wants to boot Mike Johnson, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, conservative does not equal Trumpy or quasi-Trumpy or what Steve Bannon says. Or no, that's not what conservative means. Stop it.
God, I wish we could get away from that.
We got to come up with another word. Trumpy, Trumptastic, I don't know, neo something or other, but not conservative.
Anywho, so Marjorie Taylor Greene now has another person joining in on the we need to boot this guy. And as you remember, when Kevin McCarthy took the speakership, part of his agreement to get the votes was, and I didn't even really fully understand this until a couple of weeks ago when I listened to a lengthy podcast with somebody who's an expert in House stuff. It's all about the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee is the most important committee in the House. It's not really usually, because it's just seen as an extension of the Speaker. The most important committees are your Ways and Means Committee, control the purse strings for everything. You know, your intelligence committee, they get to know all kinds of stuff. Nobody else knows. But in reality, if it's not an extension of the speaker, the rules committee is the most important thing. Generally, you become speaker, you put your people in the rules committee, and then you have the rules you want, and you can practically make up any rules you want for what it takes to get legislation to the floor, how many votes are going to be needed, the way it's going to be constructed, all this different sort of stuff, the when to bring it up, blah, blah, blah. You can control it so much to get your stuff through. Kevin McCarthy, the biggest thing he gave up was the hold on the Rules Committee. So you had to staff some of the Marjorie Taylor Greene, Gates down in Florida, those people on the Rules Committee. And so you just can't get any legislation going because you don't have control over when, the rules, any of the stuff. And right, that's the biggest part of this whole deal. Whoever's speaker in this current formation where you don't get to put your people on the Rules Committee will never really be able to get much done.
That's correct. And my question to MTG would be, what next, dear?
Right.
What next?
Well, I'll tell you what next is for her, in reality. More money pouring in because she's a fierce resistor of something.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is this, it occurs to me that this is a pretty good illustration of what you're talking about in terms of conservatism and what it is and isn't. I'm reminded of Chesterton's fence, of course, the famous illustration, without getting into the fence analogy, but it's a core it states that a core component of making great decisions is understanding the rationale behind previous decisions. If we don't understand how we got here, we run the risk of making things much worse. In other words, the Speaker had the prerogatives of the Rules Committee. The House has functioned in a certain way, the Senate, for hundreds of years. Do not say we brave new people are going to change it completely because we have great ideas, unless you can explain to me point by point why what exists exists, because you don't understand why that fence is there. So don't tear it down. It's the opposite of conservatism. It's like veering from guardrail to guardrail, recklessness.
No, it's really radical, which is usually assigned to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And also for the crowd that wants to boot out Speaker Johnson, and then who's going to take the job? First of all, who's even going to apply? And then who's going to get the votes?
Well, they hardly could find anybody to take the job when Johnson took it.
Right, right.
And now it's worse.
Anyway, so that's that.
What next, dear?
They sat 7 jurors out of 12 in the Trump Stormy Daniels hush money case yesterday. Because it's illegal to pay a porn star to keep quiet about sex. No, it's not. That's not what the trial's about. But anyway, they sat 7 jurors yesterday, and we know who they are. I have a feeling that people are going to figure out, like, really who they are, especially if Trump gets acquitted. And then all these people's names will be out and all that sort of stuff. But anyway.
I'm considering paying a mattress actress to do the opposite, too. Go public and say that she enjoyed my tender affections and that I was amazing. Can I do that? Is that legal? I think it is.
My tender affections. That's hilarious. I wrote a poem. I played a song. There was a foot rub involved.
I brought her daisies. I picked myself.
Right. I showed up with flowers.
It's simple. They love each other.
Juror number one. Who is the foreperson? You choose the foreperson before you even seat the jurors? I didn't know that's the way it worked.
No, that's not how you do it. It
says here, juror number one, the foreperson.
Nuh-uh. The jury chooses the foreperson. You can't have a foreperson until the jury's selected.
Okay, anyway.
That's odd. What are you reading from? We don't know what we're talking about times?
This was from Fox News.
It's possible there's some sort of weird rule in New York. I don't realize, but seems odd.
We don't know what we're talking about news. That's most news. Juror number one, a male from West Harlem, originally from Ireland, gets news from the New York Times, Daily Mail, Fox News, and MSNBC. Well, that's pretty well-rounded. You should be the foreman. Juror number two, and it's a dude. Foreperson, you can call him foreman. Juror number two is a female from the Upper East Side, native New Yorker, an oncology nurse. Gets her news from the New York Times, Google, and has a Facebook account. Juror number three, young to middle-aged Asian man from Chelsea. Attorney for 5 years, practices corporate law, gets her news from the New York Times and Google.
I don't get news from Google. I guess a lot of people do. Terribly biased.
If you get your news, well, right. If you get your news from the New York Times and Google, is there any chance you don't have a really biased view of this Trump situation already?
The New York Times has done some decent reporting on the actual case and what it's about, although you're not supposed to, like, come in knowing that. I don't know.
But just Trump in general, though.
Probably right, yeah.
Just Trump in general. I would think you would have an incredibly biased view of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how would you not? Either you read the New York Times and dismiss it as crap, the thousand Russia stories that they did.
Right.
Or you have something in your... Anyway. Juror number four, an older middle-aged man from the Lower East Side, born in Puerto Rico. Works as a consultant for about 10 years, self-employed. Gets his news from the New York Daily News, New York Times, Google, and listens to podcasts. Has every person said they get the news from the Google so far? All but one. I don't even know what that means, get your news from Google. Juror number five, a younger black woman, Harlem native, teaches elementary in a school for 8 years, gets her news from Google and TikTok, talk radio, and talk radio. Yay, talk radio. Actually, she says the Breakfast Club, so that's that, what's his name?
Charmaine the God?
Right. Get your news from Google and TikTok. Juror number six, young woman from Chelsea, New Yorker, software engineer. Juror number six, we don't know where she gets her news. Could be anywhere. Juror number seven, a white man who lives on the Upper East Side, attorney, civil litigator, gets the news from the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, New York Post, and WAPO.
I am shocked that the prosecution would let him be on the jury, because an attorney will fully get what this case is really about and how they are stretching the heck out of the law.
You think?
I do. Yeah, so if he's going to be honest.
That's two attorneys that are on the jury already.
Interesting. Maybe I'm misperceiving, you know, the way they would see this case. Maybe the prosecution's thinking, no, they could follow the twists and turns. And because, you know, attorneys, it doesn't matter if something's right or wrong or tortured or appropriate. As long as you can get away with it, it's kosher.
Well, yeah, there's also the maybe attorneys will say, this is not about a porn star and sex. This is about these laws, and he violated these laws, as opposed to other jurors who might actually, even after sitting through the case, you know this from your experience in jurors, might actually sit there and, I just don't think having sex with a porn star is that big a deal. What are you talking about, dude?
While that is a slight exaggeration of the lack of capacity for rational thought I have witnessed on juries, it's only a slight exaggeration. I remember after the last jury I was on that actually went all the way to a verdict and the rest of it, you asked me, you know, for a one-word takeaway or a quick description of how I felt, and I think the word I used was terrified.
Wow. And once again, the Washington Post did a poll on something that doesn't exist, but they polled on it anyway. They ask people whether it's a crime to pay someone to remain silent about an issue that may affect the outcome of an election. 70% of people say it is a crime. That's not what this is. It's not what this trial's about, but they polled on anyway. They're insinuating that that's what this trial is about. It's about paying a porn star. They actually said that. Was it ABC Evening News last night? That was their lead thing. They should have grabbed it and said, the second day of the Stormy Daniels trial, well, Trump is accused of paying a porn star to not talk about their affair leading to an election. No. No, that's not it.
Well, the question
it's
before
technically,
us.
Technically, I mean, you can technically say that's true, but that's not really what. Well, not. I don't know.
Well, that's the rationale they used to say it was a campaign contribution, as opposed to just an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. But there, I'm telling you, there are so many hoops to jump through, legally speaking, and logical stretches. I don't see him getting 12 jurors to agree. But I could be wrong.
One thing I don't remember is. Why didn't he just pay out of his own pocket to keep her mouth shut? Was that just being cheap? Why did he use money that could get him into trouble?
I don't know. Does Melania handle the checkbook?
She's not paying attention to every dollar that gets spent.
I got to admit, it is odd that he would have Cohen write the checks and then pay him back under the guise of this is his legal retainer.
Was that just him being cheap like he does? He tries to use campaign money for everything? Why didn't you just use your own money, man? Pay her the, because it wasn't that much money.
No, not for a guy like that.
No.
130 grand or something?
She should have just, cashed out a little stock or something. Just paid her. You know, your own money. Could have avoided this whole thing.
Sell a couple of the solid gold ashtrays on your airplane. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. It's an odd maneuver, no doubt.
Sign a couple of your really long ties and put them on eBay.
For instance, coming up. One more reason, I'll bet all insurance is going to cover those weight loss drugs soon.
Oh, wow.
Also, Taylor Swift, who's one of the most savage and heartless capitalists I've ever seen. And that is certainly her right.
Wow. If insurance starts paying for those weight loss drugs, over half of America will be on them.
They're going to, and they should. Not for moral reasons, but for financial reasons.
Interesting.
Again, more on that
I
to
want to hear that. I'll stay here.
Armstrong and Getty.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next. And thus, anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
I spend more time working on these cars than with my own family.
I spend my days digging holes, cutting grass, and sweating.
This is job number 2 today, so my customers aren't the only ones drinking coffee.
I'm breaking my back out here for one reason.
I want to pay off some other guy's debt.
Biden's plan to pay other people's college loans using my tax dollars is a great idea.
Biden's right. You should take my tax dollars to pay off your debts. My family will figure out how to get by with less. What's most important is we spare college graduates from any extra stress.
Want to be a struggling artist? College is on me.
My kids don't need fancy things like school supplies or new shoes.
I work for you, theater major.
This shift is for you, business major. Go buy yourself that new car.
Enjoy your free ride. College is on me.
Tell Congress, stop Biden's bailout for rich kids.
You know, after that, I got to mention this here. Did you see this? The University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business. That's where Trump went to school. It's one of your top business schools. They went through the Biden student loan cancellation thing, said it's going to cost taxpayers so far, and they're still doing it, $559 billion, over half a trillion dollars.
Wow.
As households earning $300,000 benefit the most, according to this Wharton study.
Boy, the tectonic shift in the nature of the parties, the public perception of them and the reality of them is just shocking. The Democratic Party now just stomping all over the working class.
That total $500 billion price tag for taxpayers is outrageous. And then who it goes to, I mean, because regardless of who it goes to, it's crazy. Why are we doing this? Why student loan debt as opposed to any other kind of debt? But anyway, the Wharton budget model finds that this latest plan will also relieve some longer term student debt for about 750,000 households, 750,000 households that make over $312,000 a year in average household income. There you go. You heard the waitress there on her second job, the guy digging the holes, the guy working on the cars. Of course they're happy to send their tax money to households that make more than $300,000 a year.
These kids have not taught themselves, but the theme of bizarre economic notions continues. Michael, why not? Change of plans. We'll talk about the weight loss drug next segment, but give us number 91. I can't remember. This might have been UCLA or one of your big colleges.
Should squatters have rights? Not as in human rights, but squatting rights. It's been conflated a lot today, so I just wanted to make that clear.
I think we should abolish private property.
Really?
Yes.
You don't think anyone should be able to own property?
I think that as things exist, squatting should be allowed because people own property. Property shouldn't just sit empty, and if they are, they should be seized by people who need them. We should work towards a world where people can have housing that's not based on how much money you have or how much access to capital or resources. It should just be a basic resource. And so if squatting is a means to, like, obtain that necessary right, that, like, intrinsic dignified right, which is not a human right, but access to housing is. And squatting as something that's illegal, I think the legality of it should be usurped for the necessity of access to material resources like housing.
All right. I'm calling for a complete shutdown of the American university system. It's like a restaurant that's found to be overrun with rats and roaches. You just have to clean it down or shut it down, clean it out, and open again later when you can prove it's normal.
Armstrong and Getty.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next. And thus, anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
A spectacle not seen in Congress in 148 years.
All persons are commanded to keep silent on pain of imprisonment.
The House asking the Senate to sit in judgment of an impeached member of the president's cabinet.
We've just witnessed history being made.
House prosecutors walked the 303 steps from the House floor across the Capitol rotunda to the Senate chamber to deliver the articles in only the 22nd impeachment trial in American history.
All right, whatever. I'm not wasting a breath on that.
Well, unlike Jack, I am a patriot and expect the Constitution to be upheld. I think that was fair. And this is all about the impeachment of the waste of skin Alejandro Mayorkas for willfully refusing to comply with the law and enforce the law. I'm for publicizing how bad the border is. I'm not sure this
is secure.
Yeah, right. I don't think this is the greatest expenditure of time or energy. Just make the case, win the election. Anyway,
I've got a busy day Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on.
The best part of him being the DHS secretary is getting that clip.
Oh yeah, yeah. The problem being that now, and this was not the case in the past, but now the cabinet members are merely figureheads who do precisely what the White House tells them to do. And so Mayorkas is just carrying out the wishes of Biden and his wackadoo band of progressive advisors. So, on a totally different topic, I thought this was interesting. You got those super popular weight loss drugs now, Wegovy, Zepbound, which is an odd name.
Is that a real thing? You make that up?
Yeah. I know, it sounds like I did, but no, that's for real. That's the one Eli Lilly makes. Well, that big pharma giant announced yesterday that its obesity drug, tirzepatide, or Zepbound, provided considerable relief to overweight or obese people who had obstructive sleep apnea or episodes of stop breathing during sleep. I can tell you, as a guy who has battled my weight since my youth, that I know what weight, if I go past it, I'll snore more. And snoring is essentially baby sleep apnea.
I didn't know that. And snoring is baby sleep apnea. Did you just make up that term?
Yeah, kind of.
Pretty good.
It's like the step toward apneaville, because it's an obstruction of your breathing. But anyway, yeah, I know if I pass a certain weight, Judy will tell me, hey, you're snoring more.
That's interesting. I think I like baby sleep apnea better than a step toward apneaville. When you go out there and you start pitching your drug or your machine or your exercise equipment or whatever it is you got.
Okay, you're a one-man focus group. So where was I? Ah, yes. Oh, but the thing about sleep apnea that a lot of people realize, and it does, it's affected by, you can have a fat, you know, sinus or throat
or whatever. Your hangy downy's too fat.
Well, yeah, I don't think it has to do with your uvula, but
you've got a thick epiglottis.
All right.
Your epiglottis is thick with two C's.
So, but yeah, as you gain weight, you get more flesh in the back of your throat, which is crazy. I mean, it's bad enough on the hips, am I wrong? Or the moobs. But yeah, it gets in, and so you get more sleep apnea, which is not the problem. The problem is that sleep apnea gives you a significantly higher risk for high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, stroke, and dementia.
Yeah, that's the reason to lose weight.
Well, right. And, you know, if you've struggled to lose weight or you can't or what have you, from the financial point of view of an insurance company, or maybe your company self-insures and just has another company handle claims for you, it makes all the sense in the world to pay a certain amount to prevent all of those like crazy high dollar conditions. So I just wonder whether, you know, your Medicare, Medicaid, and the big insurance companies are going to work out deals to start paying for this stuff.
So insurance is not going to pay for your revenge bod, but they might pay for you not having diabetes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Another consumer issue. Do you have more? Yes.
Well, I think this will be a giant deal if this happens, because 2/3 of Americans are obese or whatever those numbers are. They're insane. So if insurance starts covering this, isn't like it going to be the more common than not that somebody's on one of these drugs?
Sure. It'd be like statins for cholesterol or hypertension medicine or something. Get your blood pressure checked, friends. Trust me on this.
I think it'll be way beyond that. Most people I meet are not on high blood pressure drugs. Mm-hmm. But I think they pass this. It'll be most people I meet are on, maybe even me, are on one of these weight loss drugs. That's just interesting as a beast that this will just be, take your vitamin, take your weight loss drug. Okay, go to school or whatever.
Yeah, not to rehab this conversation, which we've had a number of times, but nobody's quite sure. I mean, we have our pretty good theories, but nobody's 100% sure what combination of factors in the modern world are leading to so much obesity. I have my list of two or three that I think pretty much explain it, but it's so interesting. If you look at the third world, the emerging countries, whatever, that obesity is exploding in those countries, developing countries. As soon as you reach a certain amount of development in the modern world, your people get really fat. And so, yeah, this could be globally a drug everybody is gobbling down, which, trust me, Eli Lilly is not against.
And there will be some side effect to that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, a different consumer issue. I found this so interesting. Taylor Swift is among... she is...
Singer?
Yes, skinny, blonde-headed, dating a football guy. Yes, Taylor Swift. She is a talented songstress, no doubt, whether you like her music or not. There's no denying that people really dig her tunes. But she is also an absolutely savage and effective capitalist in ways that I think are underappreciated because everybody's busy swooning over her legs and her concerts. I've got a friend who's in the concert business. I can't get too specific, but he's pointed out to me that she is a voracious capitalist. She, one tour, you're place in line to buy tickets was determined by how much merchandise you bought. You spend $100 on merch, you're like fourth in line. You spend $300 on merch, step right up, buy your concert ticket.
Well, then that whole selling tickets to just being in the parking lot like my niece did, making lots of money off of that, parking lot tickets, or opening the T-shirt shops and everything like they did in San Francisco 3 days before the concert and having lines around the block.
Right. Wow. Yeah, and a lot of the talk of, hey, man, they're selling out in the 60s and 70s was idiotic. As Pete Townsend of The Who once put it, and I thought this was pretty persuasive, he said, no, if I let Chevy use my song for their trucks for 6 months, that allows me to finance all these projects I want to do that are not going to make any money, but I really enjoy.
Well, if you need to make that reason, I don't care if your reason is I want to buy a yacht. Who freaking cares? It's my song. The Waifish Warbler can do whatever she wants with her songs.
Back to the Waifish Warbler herself. That's right. The whole selling out thing. She has so much money and employs so many people. It's just interesting to see that she is obviously as motivated as the guy who, you know, came up, as Steve Jobs was with Apple, to build a giant conglomerate, because she doesn't need the money. I mean, it's not even close. But for instance,
she does not need the money.
But so why would she, for instance, her new album is called Midnights. She has put out 6 different funky, colored vinyl albums, discs, records. She puts out these collectible vinyl editions in a bunch of weird, funky colors, and people are buying all of them.
So a physical album, do people have record players? All these people?
Yeah, a lot of people do. I don't. How would I know? I haven't asked them.
Well, but there's the one guy. Collectibles, you hang them on your wall, or they actually spin them?
That's an interesting question, but this one dude who's, and he's a dude, who's a big Taylor Swift fan, has spent about $1,000 in the process of buying all 6 of the different colored vinyls. Although streaming remains the dominant musical format, physical media has been a growing niche where the industry can cater to so-called super fans who express their dedication by shelling out big bucks for collectible versions of new releases, sometimes in multiple quantities. A lot of your K-pop bands are like this, too. They have elaborate CD packages often featuring goodies like postcards and photo booklets, which help the boy band repeatedly go to number one. Taylor Swift has put out special edition CD packages, even cassettes with bonus tracks. Certain deluxe editions sold through her website have trinkets like magnets, photo cards, and engraved bookmarks. And my favorite, Swift's site offered a limited run of autographed LPs for $50. And then she had one special edition thing which featured entries from her journal or her diary or something like that, that the completest fan would have to collect.
So you weren't here the day we talked about the leggy La 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 and her making the billionaire list for the first time. She is the billionaire entertainers. She just made the list this year. There are 14 billionaire entertainers. She's the only one on there, including Jay-Z, Rihanna, a bunch of different people. She's the only one on there that's made the money primarily off her music. The other ones have makeup. Or Jay-Z has got tequila or whatever he's got, brandy, he's got some sort of booze. But she's the only one that has done it music-wise. But she's found a whole bunch of different avenues for the music avenue of it.
Well, right, music and music adjacent, like merch.
But yeah.
But I understand the distinction.
Yeah, music. Yeah. T-shirts is closer to your music than you got a booze now.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, especially because you can't make money on the music, really. In the world of streaming, artists make nothing. You got to sell tickets and merch. Heard said many times, you want to support an artist, buy merch.
And the blonde bellower is only 34. She's got a long way.
apparently your trove of these phrases is unending.
She's got a long way to go. She could end up with many, many billions of dollars.
I can't go on with this discussion. I'm just because I've got like a shell shock. I just the next one's coming. I know it is, and I'm cringing.
Yes, you're flinching.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll be enough of that. On to something else. Do you have anything particular in mind? We've got so many things to squeeze into the show today. We're never going to get to half of it.
What was your thing? Yeah, before we take a break.
Scanning, looking.
I was going to mention this. It's become a thing almost every day. My son and I get, we play one-on-one basketball. And we go over to the basketball court and we usually play till 10 to 10 by ones. And I do have the advantage of being 2 feet taller than him, which is an advantage. He has a bit of a youth advantage, though. And so, Katie, you played basketball. You might be able to relate to this. But, like, so what I do early is I jump out to a lead because I use my blinding speed to get by him and go in for a layup. I cross him over. I go in for a layup. Now, I only make half my layups. And the problem is I got, like, three times of blowing by him before I'm just completely gassed.
Yeah.
And I got no energy left whatsoever. And then he catches back up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to figure out a different strategy.
Learn to pace yourself. Pop from the outside. Create your own shots.
What do you suggest, Katie, as a basketball player? Just get in better shape or?
Yeah, or maybe practice sprints. Like, I am the world's worst long-distance runner, but I can run the length of a basketball court pretty quick and consistently.
Oh, I get by him. Once I get by him, man, I'm gone. He has no chance of stopping me. But then I miss the layup. I can do it, like, twice, and then I'm just, go ahead and shoot. I'll catch you next time. And then he, you know, makes a couple baskets.
Oh, that reminds me, Katie, jumping on the air. After the break, we need to discuss your injury and a lot of good stuff to come this hour.
Yeah, so stay with us.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next, and thus anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Text we got on the heels of the college loan bailout BS discussion. I still owe $20,000 for my solar panels. Where do I sign up for the free college money? I'm even saving the planet. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, many examples.
Oh, yeah, innumerable. So a quick glance behind the scenes. I don't want to make it out that we're loggers or anything, but there are a couple of radio person injuries that you might not realize are fairly common in the industry. Katie just suffered perhaps the most painful of them.
Oh, gosh. And so we have these collapsible noise-canceling headphones that fold in when you take them off. And I folded mine in, and when I went to put them back on, they folded out, and it pinched just the web of my hand right in between my thumb and my index finger. And man, does that hurt.
Oh, it hurts like fire. And then as you try to like undo it, you can accidentally like squeeze it even tighter.
Yeah, you go the wrong way. I was thinking of yelling for help because in that moment I panic and I don't know which way to bend them.
Right. God help you if you go the wrong way. Right. So that's radio.
For help.
Radio injury number one. Radio injury number two, which is familiar to anybody who's ever been in the business, is because the headphones are kind of, how would you describe them? Spring-loaded, I guess, yeah. So they stay on your head. You are stretching them apart to put them over your ears and one of your hands slips and you punch yourself in the nose. Or I with the headphones.
Yeah, to me, the most painful radio-related injury is a headphone smash in the eyeball.
I'm a gold medalist with both of those. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, so many blows again, I've administered to myself. Yes.
Again, it's not like we're loggers.
But this is rough.
It's not like we're working the deadliest catch, you know, crab boat in the North Atlantic or anything like that.
It's comparable.
Yeah, similar.
My goodness, it's painful. I was just going to say something that flitted right out of my mind. How crazy. I mentioned this once or twice. Speaking of the world of work, the idiotic, indefensible, economically ignorant idea of the $20 minimum wage for fast food in California is having its unintended, but inevitable effect that people are getting laid off by the thousands. People are losing their jobs. Companies are investing much more heavily in technology. And it's absolutely a net negative to workers. Not even close. But I thought this was so interesting. This happens to be in New York, Queens, New York. But it's an example. It's this chicken restaurant where the cashier is not a live person. She is looking at you on a computer screen, helping you punch in your order. But that gal is not there. She's in the Philippines. So the idea of a third world call center has now come to your fast food ordering experience. Which is crazy. The remote workers are paid $3 an hour, according to their management company, where the minimum wage in New York City, for instance, is $16. The workers are all based in the Philippines and projected onto flat screen monitors via Zoom.
I wonder how much of this is the wage being too high and how much of it is technology advancing to where this might have happened no matter what. I mean, if you can pay people $3 an hour, that's cheaper than any minimum wage we've had since I was a kid.
Right. It's more complicated than that, as you know, just because there are pluses and minuses to either one.
Sure.
And you know, how quickly a technology becomes profitable is a huge factor. But for the government to step in and artificially change the supply and demand scale for labor, it's just, I mean, it's not like... Well, you know, to continue the theme we've been discussing on and off all day, there are a hell of a lot of Americans who have no idea how economics work, how business works, how finance works, even personal finance. It's shocking.
If this works, it'll be the end of people who run a register of any kind anywhere.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, all those gals and guys who are employed as cashiers at your local Target, for instance, your job's going away.
Armstrong and Getty.
Air conditioning techs, on the other hand, still making a great living and providing a valuable service. I was just reading about that the other day. And if you have not had...
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Every Day Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Every Day Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Every Day Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s,
I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.